Israel marked the second anniversary of the October 7th attacks in a subdued manner on Tuesday, according to reports from Tel Aviv. The somber day comes as hopes for a ceasefire grew, even as hostages remain in captivity and Israel's ongoing military operations continue to add to the destruction and mounting Palestinian death toll in Gaza. With the Jewish Harvest Festival of Sukkot shutting down much of the country, the government postponed official commemorations until later this month. Instead, the day was marked by quiet gatherings and a large memorial in Tel Aviv's Central Park, where tens of thousands came together in grief and remembrance. October 7, 2023, marked the beginning of Israel's longest war. Some, including a growing list of human rights groups, say it marked the start of a genocide. Among them, B'Tselem, the Israeli Information Center for Human Rights. It issued a statement saying the October 7th atrocities committed by Hamas were a trigger for genocide, but that the escalation was rooted in decades of apartheid and occupation. Cynthia Kaufman is a spokesperson for Jewish Voice for Peace, Bay Area.
October 7th marks a really, really terrible time, really, in world history. You know, it was a horrible massacre of Israeli civilians and then followed by 2 years of massacre and genocide against the Palestinians. So it's one of the ugliest chapters in the very ugly history of conflict between Israel and the Palestinians.
The October 7th, 2023 attack resulted in the killing of more than 1,100 Israeli civilians. Another 252 were abducted, the majority civilians, including women, children, and the elderly. 47 hostages remain in captivity, and 26 have been pronounced dead. Jewish Voice for Peace acknowledges the duty under humanitarian law to avoid harming civilians and stresses that deliberate attacks on civilian populations constitute as a war crime. The group argues that Israel used the October 7th attack to reinforce a sense of existential threat, enabling it to become the perpetrator of a genocide. Over the past 2 years, Al Jazeera reports that Israel has killed or injured more than 10% of Gaza's population. At least 67,000 Palestinians dead, with thousands more still buried under the rubble. 20,000 children are among the deceased, the equivalent of one child killed every hour for the past 2 years.
I think it's really important for everyone to hold tenderness in their hearts for civilian casualties of all kinds, and to hold tenderness in our hearts for the victims of Hamas's massacre on October 7th, and also to hold tenderness in our hearts for the more than 65,000 Palestinians who've been killed in the 2 years since, and for us just to hold on to our humanity and our sense that that human beings deserve to live in peace, with dignity, with proper political representation, and for all of us to do everything we can to bring a ceasefire, to bring reconciliation, to bring democracy and autonomy for the Palestinians, and peace for the Israelis.
B'Tselem says the shock and fear from this date 2 years ago served as a driving force for Netanyahu's government to shift from oppression and control to destruction and annihilation, and that for decades the apartheid worked to physically and mentally separate Jewish Israelis from Palestinians. Quote, in this context, the Hamas-led attack, as brutal as it was, it was not only a terrible disaster that struck Israeli society, but also a mirror reflecting the human cost of maintaining a decades-long regime of oppression. With indignation and gunfire, Israel is refusing to face this mirror. Close quote.
Yeah, I really agree with B'Tselem's statement and the idea that that the October 7th attack on Israeli civilians was truly, truly horrific, and that it enabled Israel to do something that's even more truly horrific, and we have to oppose both things. And it's really important that because the U.S. is the main funder of the Israeli regime and arms going to Israel, it's crucial for Americans to again hold both categories of victims in our hearts, but also to understand on a policy level that the way we change this is to stop sending arms to Israel.
Meanwhile, Kaufman praised local action in the Bay Area, pointing to Alameda County's Board of Supervisors, which last week adopted an ethical investment policy, prohibiting county tax dollars from going to companies tied to human rights abuses, including what advocates describe as Israel's genocide and apartheid in Palestine. She said the move reflects a long tradition with the Jewish community of standing up to injustice and oppression.
I'm really excited that Alameda County has now passed an ethical investment policy, and our county has a policy that we will not invest in genocide, apartheid, fossil fuels, or any other forms of destruction.
In the Bay Area, a coalition of activists, including members of the Palestinian Youth Movement, held a rally to commemorate October 7th and continue pressuring local officials. While Alameda County recently passed an ethical investment policy, organizers say officials have yet to formally address allegations that Oakland International Airport has been used to transport weapons used to bomb and maim civilians in Gaza. Kat Brooks, co-founder and executive director of the Anti-Police Terror Project and host of Law and Disorder on KPFA, spoke to the demonstrators.
Because now they can't say they don't know. They can say they didn't know, but they can't say they don't know. And now we are clear that they ain't saying nothing on purpose. Anyone who purports to stand or represent Oakland values, elected, appointed, or otherwise, should be demanding an immediate cease and desist, but their silence is deafening.
Protesters gathered around the world Tuesday to condemn the ongoing war in Gaza. In Indonesia's capital, more than 1,000 pro-Palestinian demonstrators marched to the U.S. Embassy to denounce Israel's blockade of Gaza and the detention of activists from the Global Sumud Flotilla, which tried to break the blockade last week. In Japan, hundreds of protesters marched through downtown Tokyo, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza and the release of hostages. Similar protests were held across other major cities. Hundreds of students and staff from universities in London and elsewhere in the UK joined protests demanding an end to the war in Gaza, defying warnings from Britain's Prime Minister that such demonstrations risk fueling anti-Semitism. Keir Starmer had warned protesters that marching on the anniversary of the October 7th attacks were, quote, un-British and disrespectful, close quote. Back in the Bay Area, students for Gaza at San Francisco State University and UC Berkeley, along with a coalition of labor groups and community organizations, plan to shut down their campuses on October 8th with informational pickets and educational activities. According to S4G, students will walk out of classes and picket from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday, calling for university funds to be directed towards education and jobs, rather than war and occupation. Meanwhile, speaking from the White House today, Donald Trump said Israel and Hamas are, quote, very close to a peace deal in Gaza.
I think there's a possibility that we could have peace in the Middle East. It's something even beyond the Gaza situation. We want a release of the hostages immediately, etc. And so our team is over there now. Another team just left, and other countries, literally every country in the world, has supported the plan. Yep. We are very close to making a deal on the Middle East that will bring peace to the Middle East. After all of these years of millions and millions, tens of millions of people being killed, there's a chance to bring peace to the Middle East. Once this deal happens, if it does happen, look, they're in negotiations right now. We are going to do everything possible. We have a lot of power, and we're going to do everything possible to make sure everybody adheres to the deal.
Speaking to Reuters, Hamas officials say they are ready to reach a Gaza deal, but that key conditions still remain unresolved. For KPFA News, I'm Lauren Schmidt.